Okay, Ron, thank you so much. And the study number tonight, the tape number, is study 129. And we started out with quite a long time ago with this study, and we was looking at wisdom, the wisdom that God imparts to mankind. And we had a workman's linear, interlinear, that Jack Eberle did when he lived up in West Virginia. And he did the last seven books of Paul with the interlinear. And so we incorporated that with our wisdom study when we got down to these last seven epistles. And so we've been reading scripture out of King James Version, and then I do my notes on that, and then I read out of the Koine Greek, Jack's version, and then I read his notes, and then he has a lot of, generally speaking, he has a lot of Bible study things that goes along with what we do on those verses of scripture on the times that we do them, and then we look at those and compare those things and try to get a good view of all this. And so we're down in the 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're in the last verse, and it's going to take at least the entire time tonight to do that one verse of scripture, because it's one of those verses of scriptures that you could just take it and go on and on and on and on. It's a pregnant verse if you want to use it that way, because it's just gives and gives and gives. And some of the things that Jack used in his notes here, I'm going to use, and some of the things that I looked at. And because you can go off on a tangent from every angle if you wanted to on this verse, on these verses, this verse of scripture with six different parts in it. And so this is what we're going to look at tonight. And so I'm just going to read it out of the King James, and then my notes is part of Jack's notes. And so we'll look some of this stuff up as we go along and see how that works out for tonight, and to see if it makes a lot of sense to us, because there's a lot of stuff here that needs to be looked at. In verse 16 of 1 Timothy 3 says this, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, full stop. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world," or the world order, basically, "and received up into glory." So that is six different components of that one verse of scripture. And so I'll go ahead and read it out of the Koine Greek into the English, because I cannot read Greek, but Jack has already done that for me. And it said to them, confessedly, great is the God in this mystery, who was manifest in flesh, who was justified in spirit, was seen by angels, was proclaimed among nations, was believed in world system, and was received in glory. And it's basically the same thing in the more modern English. And confessedly, great is the mystery of godliness, who was manifest in flesh, who was justified in spirit, was seen by angels, was proclaimed among nations, was believed in the world system, and was received in glory. And Jack says this, this is the only thing that he wrote as a note. And it says it must be admitted that the mystery of godliness is great. And then he says here it follows. And so he broke these things down into six different parts, of which was a great thing to do, I think. And so when I looked at my and went back over some of these things, so I combined each one of these six things into my notes one at a time, and then we'll talk about them as we go through them, and hopefully in the end, or as far as we can get, that will be the study for this afternoon, this evening. Okay, looking back at my notes, and you can go, like I say, in any direction off of this, because these things combined is the basic framework of what has been shown and what has been said, and you can go on and on and on with it, because it's the scripture testifies of itself, and it certainly does in this order, because and one kind of bleeds over into the other too. So and if you think in your mind, well, Cecil, you didn't say anything about this, or you didn't say anything about that. If I had, we'd have probably been here all night if we took it that way and looked at it. And it says this, 16, and without controversy, or confessedly. And that word is one that I try to dare not to break it down in the Greek, but it's in the Greek in the Strong's, it's number 3672 in the Strong. And so it says the controversy is not there. How do you talk about something in different ways when you haven't seen the subject that you're talking about? So confessedly, you know, you couldn't put up an argument in court to make it stand up, because
you don't have any physical proof.
You don't have that physical proof. And the fact is that there's so many other people that sees things other ways that, you know, you would never really come to a conclusion. So confessedly, there's no argument here that can be found ever in the Godhead, because the Godhead has been in effect for all these millions of years, maybe, and that the Godhead has never strayed from being together on anything that they've ever put forth. And so we realize that great certainly is the mystery, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, of godliness. And so this is a full stop. So what comes after the full stop is a very important part of the picture that we're going to try to get or look at tonight. And the great there, talking about great is the mystery, the great there is put in for emphasis, and it's 3773. And the Greek word for that is megas. And it's either can be literal or it can be figurative as to how it's used. And it can be used to make, declare, increase, extol. And it also can be in a very wide application, such as fear, or as exceeding, or as the word greatest, highness, largest, loudest, mightiest, and also it can turn and be used as being sore afraid or as strong as, and also as to age or years. And it certainly can be used as the word eternal. Okay. That was the word great. And so you see, when you're talking about the Godhead, it can't be no greater, it can't be no higher, it just can't go any further than their power will allow it to go. Because, you know, Satan, when he got into trouble, Satan had the I will situation. I will be. Well, that wasn't what God created him for. His job was, I think, to be the go-between between the angelic order and the Godhead. And so he was the one that kind of scheduled all this out as to what God wanted or needed or wished or thought. And so Satan had his little thing and he says, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And so therefore, he thought himself being better than what God had created him for. And so here was the deal when he created Adam. And so he was there. He was in the garden. And so mankind got his test right off the bat, starting. and we're still in the test mode as we go along for all these thousands of years. And when you look at great, our minds can't get, my mind especially can't get any better than what has been used to express the Godhead. It's beyond anything that man could ever hope or to imagine to be a part of. And I'll tell you right now, I am a adopted son of God. I have been chosen. And I have been set forth in Ephesians, and I have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There is no other power known that can do that for you. If God doesn't do it for you, you're without it. But when we look at the last seven books that the apostle penned, then, you know, there's things that went on earlier that seemed to be when God set his law in order through Moses, that these things didn't seem to be, they seemed to be a little slanted one way or the other because of his choosing. And God can choose who he wants to choose. You can't tell God who he can choose and nobody can. Who he can choose and not. And you get talking with people and people say, well, that don't seem to be very fair. Well, what God says is fair. And so we have to take him at his word.
Even if you think it ain't.
Yeah. What are you going to do if you...
I say that all the time. Not the judge of what's not.
No, if you go against that. That's for sure. Okay. So we find that all these things is great. And it says there that great is the mystery of godliness. So let's look at the mystery a little bit. And that's not normally taught in very many establishments around called churches. Mystery is 3466 in the Strong. And it means it's in the Greek. I can't express it as well as I should, so we'll call it this. The mystery is to shut the mouth. Because this is what God did to mankind. He shut the mouth when he created. So this mystery was not revealed until he chose for it to be revealed. And this mystery was not revealed until he chose a man to reveal it. And it wasn't part of the Godhead. It wasn't his son. Because his son revealed a lot of things. But you see, there was some left that wasn't revealed because he wasn't allowed to do that at the time. And Paul's testimony was that he came to fill up that which Christ did not do, because he wasn't allowed to do that at that time, because it wasn't time. And time was created for man. If God's eternal, then it wasn't created for God. But then there is time that man sees and understands by the seasons and by the things that has been given. But God chose to keep his mouth closed concerning the latter times. Or, if you want to put it a little more evenly, let's put it in the present time. Because when these events and these things happened that we're reading about here, it was done in the time that they were supposed to be revealed or shown. And so there's no argument there. We can't argue with that God chooses to reveal and to show at the time. And so there was things that Christ didn't get to show that Paul got the understanding to show it in the day and the age in which he lived. Okay, to shut the mouth, a secret or mystery through the idea of silence imposed by initiation into religious rites. So you see, when God chooses to initiate mankind into these things, then he revealed. That's the way it works. And we can't deny that. And so, this mystery truth that we've come into deals with godliness, the things that God wants done or wishes to be done. Okay, and godliness is 2150 in the Strong's. And when you look at it, it says it's well reverent, i.e. pious, toward God in worship, very devout, and truly godly. Now, the next word after the full stop there is God. And that is Theos, or the Father. And so we can say, rather than saying God at every part of this, people use quite often he who. He who, he was the Father, he who was manifest. Manifest is 5319 in the Strong's, and it is the word phaneru, optimai, and it means to see with the eye, or to bring to light, to make manifest, to be visible or open to sight in the flesh.
So the who is Theos?
He who.
Oh, the who and the, yeah, it said inconfessedly. Oh, okay.
He who, Theos. See, anywhere in these 6 points where it says God, because it don't say God in all of them, it just says God in the first one. So, you can put God or he who, either one, it would make the same sense. It doesn't change the rhythm of the word at all there. So, there's a note in...
I posted about three different translated versions of that. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, there's a note in the Companion Bible that says the Revised version prints he who and adds in margin Theos, God, rests on no sufficient evidence. The probability is that the original reading was ho, which with the Syriac and all the Latin versions to agree with mysterion was neutral. The Greek unical being O, some scribes added the letter S, making O-C, meaning he who,
yeah,
which he thought made better sense. And later there was another mark added there, but the British Museum said that that had been added in different ink and they wasn't sure that that was the true rendering. So, we can say, okay, God was manifest in the flesh. That's not a problem. God was justified in the spirit. That's not a problem. None of them is a problem as far as we read there to go through. So, God was manifest in the flesh. God came in the flesh. That is, the Son of God was born of woman and came in the flesh, and he was able to be seen by all.
Which is the mystery of godliness. How did God present himself as a man? It's been a mystery for thousands of years. Yeah.
How does that work? But he made it work. Mm-hmm. And we could sit here all night and talk about this. Because you see, when the archangel brought the single seed and placed it into Mary's womb, God had given up all his glory and come down to a single cell individual. We don't know where the Son came from. We don't know how the Son became part of the Godhead to the point that God could and knew that all would be the same between the Father and the Son. And the Son agreed to this. And the Son, when you look at it, the Son, to begin with, when God wanted something done, the Son was the fabricator. He took, and he could take nothing and make something, or he could take something and change it into something else.
Yep.
Okay. So the Son was the fabricator, and also the Son has the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit answers to the Son of God. In the fact of man, because when God created to begin with, he created the angels, and they were to be those things that God would use to deal with mankind in different ways, in areas. And the fact is that when he chose Abram out of the Ur of Chaldees, and he made promises to Abram, and the promises was to Abram and his seed, which became Abraham. And this was where the nation of Israel was to come from, and they were to do the bidding of God in the earth. Well, if that was good enough for all times, then why did he already have made an agreement with his son to come and take care of man's sins? Because it was known that man would need his sins taken care of, because what happened early on in Scripture and the law was to show a man his sinfulness, and that he would need to make sacrifices to take care of these things for a period. But Christ was different. It was once for all. And so, in the economy after the law, which was after Acts, the mystery of truth became so very more clear and so very more important when Paul got this mysterion message that there was a new hope out there. And that new hope was Christ that come in the flesh, that they was those that could see him. And he was here for the 33 years, but his ministry only ran for 3 years. And so there was just a lot of times there would be others that would come along and say, well, I'm the Christ. And it would create problems with mankind down through the ages. But you see, Theos was Jehovah also, and that Jehovah could be seen because with Abraham or with Abram, he came and sat in the tent with Abram and confirmed the fact that, you know, they was going to have a child and it was going to be theirs. And they was after age of having any children, and Sarah laughed, and she didn't think, she laughed within herself. And she said, no, she didn't laugh, but she did. She laughed within herself. So God knows man's thoughts. And he said, oh, yes, you did.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. That's not a problem.
Well,
so
all the people you want to try to lie to, that would not be the one.
If you think about it, you know, if God knows all this, if he knows all or chooses to know all, because I think at times he doesn't choose to know everything, because he explained that when Isaac came along and he put him on the animal and put the wood on the thing, and they went out to sacrifice, and he was going to sacrifice Isaac. But again, here, this is a whole nother story. So you see the things that you get involved in when you go to talking about how great is God? What's his God? What where can you put an end to godliness? You can't. Because when everything else is took care of, he's going to be all in all. So here we are. We just can't do anything about that. So I want you to look at something for a minute while we're here on this one particular part of this verse of Scripture. Let's go back to Romans 1 for just a second. Romans chapter 1, and let's look at 1 through 4. On page 1662, if you have a companion Bible, which I use, and I recommend that if you don't have one, you may not have the best study Bible out there, but that's my two cents worth, but here we are. So it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, and this is a parenthetical insertion to give us understanding, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh.
There's a little more mystery of godliness.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So, when he came and he did the work that he had promised the Father that he would do, then here he is. We have part of the Godhead that was for a time in the flesh and could be seen and could do all these wondrous things and could tell you things that you could not really fathom or understand. And he could raise people from the dead, which he did with Lazarus. You know, and Lazarus was an example of, Israel. Because didn't matter if he died, didn't matter if he was dead, really dead, he could be brought back. And so the believing Israel was the same way. They could be brought back. Why am I sitting here and telling you all this stuff? See, it just goes on and on and on and on. You can't not ever really get to the end of it because there is no end to it. But here's one thing that I did do one time. When Christ came as that one-celled individual, think about this for a minute. He didn't have any lineage that we know of. But yet he was there. And yet he was given a position as being a son of God. And when they chose to make this declaration that he would come back as a human, and he would take the sins of the world away. And he says, yes, Father, I will do it. And so the Father had faith in the Son that he would do it. But when he come as a baby, and you see Mary went to see Elizabeth, after this event took place. And Elizabeth and Mary were first cousins. And Elizabeth was pregnant 6 months with John the Baptist. And there'd been nobody in that and that whole family, every name John. And the father of John the Baptist, he was mute for a while because of the very situation. But when Mary told Elizabeth this news, it said that John the Baptist leaped for joy in the womb of Elizabeth. Can you explain that?
Yeah, Tony just posted Luke 1:41. That's where they said.
Can you explain that? No. But here's the thing. When he was born, he was in a stable 80 miles away from home. Why was he born in a stable? And why was he wearing death clothes? Because that's what was going to happen to him somewhere down the road when he would promise to do this thing that the Father wanted him to do. He was still fabricated. Even as a baby in the womb. And when he come forth, there was lots of things that he had never, even though he had been there with the Father maybe for a million years, or millions of years. Who knows how long it was. But here's the situation. Had he ever been in a mother's womb before? We don't think so. I don't think so.
No. This was a unprecedented event in the existence of creation, I think.
Yeah.
How all this came about.
Right.
That's why it's called Great is the Mystery of Godliness. Yeah. How does a eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God become a man? And that.
Yeah,
that's where the big mystery is. Only he knows how he pulled it off.
Yeah. Well, you see, he had never sucked the pap.
No.
He had never heard his mother from the womb. He had never heard his mother sing to him or talk to him.
Or her heartbeat or anything.
See, he had not known blood before. And so there's all these things that he would have to pick back up again, although he was the fabricator of these things. And so he was experiencing his work as a human being.
It had to be a man to pay the price.
Yeah.
For mankind. And the first Adam failed.
Yeah.
The second Adam did not fail.
So, here he was experiencing all these things that he had created in man when God said, let us create, let us make. Okay. So he was manifest in the flesh. Well, when it got time to go to the cross, he had no sin. But think about this for a little bit. When an angel come to mankind and talked to him, and the presence of the angels were there with the part of the Godhead, they would ask him to take their shoes off their feet because this was holy ground. Well, think about this for a second. I'm not getting anywhere here tonight, but... But think about this. When the Godhead was there and it was holy ground that man could receive power from where they stood without, take your shoes off your feet. This is holy ground. Wherever Christ was, it was holy ground, and people tried to overtake him and do things. They couldn't touch him. He could walk through a crowd and them wanting to get him so bad, and it just was not going to happen. because it was holy. When he was placed into Mary, she was a human being. And that single cell individual made her a holy person by his power of his holiness, and he had laid it all aside, but being a one cell individual. And so he had no sin. And when he come and became, started his preaching, he started his ministry for the 3 years. He had no sin because this holiness was still there in that sense.
He was the ultimate in obedience.
Yeah. And so,
in all points where the first Adam failed, the second Adam did not fail.
Okay, so he had to take the sins of the people in order to die.
And that's the key. That was the reason he was here depended on his holiness.
Right.
And his sinlessness by the time he got to the point where he could pay the price.
Price.
And then the sin that he took was yours and mine and the sin of every he alone was worthy to take the sin of the entire created human race, all that had existed, all that were in existence, and all that would exist,
right,
and wipe it out,
right.
And he alone was qualified for all
right.
That. That's the mystery of godliness.
He was the only one
in my mind.
The books that God kept concerning Israel. He was the only one that had the ability to open the books.
Yep.
Nobody else had that situation.
Yeah, you're into one of those. You're into one of these verses that it may take us a month to get through this one.
We just, you know, but
it's 9:25 and we ain't even scratched the surface yet.
Hadn't got one.
No.
And okay. But God,
we talked about this last week, though. We knew it was going to be a booger.
Right. It opens up. It just opens up to us, or needs to, and it really needs to, because that's the reason why it's here.
Yeah.
Where it is here, because God is telling young Timothy again, you got to put it all together, son. You got to put it all together,
mm-hmm.
because when I'm gone. Not long down the road, when I'm gone, you know, you're going to have to carry on this mystery truth.
Yep.
And here we are, almost 2,000 years later. We're still carrying it on because that was why. And the faith that God had in his son, and what the son did, even though the son asked that it be taken away from him, removed. He didn't want the cup. He didn't want that cup.
Well, but he said, if it be thy will.
Yeah.
If there's another way to do it.
But it wasn't another way. It wasn't anybody else that was capable.
Yeah. And he alone stood there with all the qualifications.
So. Yeah, I guess we might have to take it one verse at the time.
part of the verse at the time
and do this. Because...
Well, we could sit here for another 2 or 3 hours and alone and just talk about the mystery of godliness.
It's, yeah.
You know, there are a lot of mysteries in the Scripture.
Yeah.
The mystery of the one body, the mystery of godliness, the mystery of iniquity. There's lots of mysteries.
Absolutely. And
even God choosing Israel, I think, in one place is called a mystery.
Yeah, right. So we'll shut her down for tonight and pick it up again next time and get another one.
and get another 1 point out of eight or whatever.
Yeah, six.
Is.
Yeah, 1 point out
one
of six.
Point out of six.
But one thing leads you to another. It's just, it's just you can't quite get away from. You just can't quite get away from all that. And so, stick with me. We'll go as far as the Lord will let us go. And if we don't have time, it won't matter. If we do have time, maybe it will open up our hearts and minds a little more to what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do.
Amen.
Because you see, what's past is past. And where you are now is the present. And then there's another part of this that's yet future, you know. And the way it was written, basically the way Scripture is written is that way. You can't find everything you need to know about something in one part of the Word. You've got to look at it in two or three different views in order to get what you need to get out of it. And that's the way our law is structured, because they'll tell you if you go down to school, and I've been down to magistrate school, and what they tell you is, get as many witnesses as you can get, because everybody looks at things a little different in that situation. And so in order to get the true picture, you need to have all the pieces of the puzzle.
And the witnesses that wrote the Word are no different.
Right.
They all bring a
different view.
Different
of it.
Aspect.
And that's the reason God did it that way. And so here's what young Timothy needed to know. And we need to talk about it.
Yep.
Continually. On and on, because it's left up to us to fulfill the body of Christ, to get it to the point to where He can return. Because it's been promised that He will return, and He will return.
Yep.
He has never made a promise that He didn't keep.
And He will appear before He returns, I believe.
Right. But still, you know, for some people
He's gonna
return.
Yep.
And they're gonna be raised up again. And so resurrection is that important. And here, you know, we read these six things, and it doesn't really give us very much of a picture of resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a general sense, but not in a practical sense, but in a general sense.
The verse you read in Romans, the verses in Romans 1:3-4, though, Paul says, concerning His Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead.
Right.
So the resurrection from the dead is the key there.
Yeah.
That took Him from being the seed of David to being declared to be the Son of God with power. That's the transport of that from one thing to the other is the resurrection from the dead.
Yeah, and that gives us...
Stayed dead, He'd have been just another dead, just another dead famous guy. But He didn't stay dead, and that's the difference.
Yeah, and that's where he gets the authority of the Holy Spirit, as where He is seated in the heavenly place.
The third part of God's Spirit of holiness declared Him to be the Son of God.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for being with us, and we'll pick it up and go on again. And we'll try to get it through there without, as the old saying goes, beat the horse to death. We will carry it on.
Well, I tell you, if you're gonna beat a horse, this is a good one to beat.
This is a good one to beat.
I agree with Tony. Tony said, love this lesson. I'm like, yeah, I do too. Especially these,
this collection of verses going through there. So thank you, Pop, for that. Thoroughly blessed.